Please turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we want to read the first three verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. As Luke began the book of Acts, as we just read, he referred to the gospel that he had written earlier. That's referring to the gospel of Luke. In his gospel, Luke wrote about all that Jesus began both to do and teach. I like to emphasize that particular statement because that's the proper order. Jesus began both to do and teach. I've observed over the years that when our Lord gives us a commandment, he set the proper example. So Jesus set the example, and then he taught. But Luke also mentioned the fact in his earlier letter that Jesus gave commandments to the apostles. And he went on to show how Jesus spoke to the apostles of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after Jesus was resurrected from the grave, he taught his apostles some very important matters. He gave a number of commandments to them, and he spoke to the apostles about things pertaining to God's kingdom. So Jesus communicated some very important information to his apostles. But remember, he always set the proper example. Luke, in his gospel, wrote about all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So as we study the scriptures to know the will of the Lord, we need to pay careful attention to the Lord's example. But we also need to pay careful attention to the instructions that he gave to the apostles that they revealed through their teaching as well as their writing. Sometimes people try to make a distinction between what Jesus actually said during his ministry and what the inspired writers recorded in the New Testament. The inspired writers of the New Testament recorded the Lord's teaching, so we make a mistake when we try to make a distinction. The New Testament is the word of the Lord. Hebrews 9 and verse 15 indicates that Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament. It's far greater than the old. I've always thought it was interesting that the prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 31 of his book, indicated that at a later time, God would establish a new covenant with his people. It would be far greater than the one that he gave through Moses. Under this new covenant, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. The book of Hebrews states several times that the Lord's New Testament is the fulfillment of that prophecy made years ago by Jeremiah. So when we study the scriptures to know the will of the Lord, we certainly want to know his will, and the way that we know his will is through a careful study of God's word. But as we study the scriptures, we need to pay careful attention to what Jesus did, that is his example, but we also need to pay careful attention to the instructions that he gave to the apostles that they revealed through their teaching and their writing. Well, with tomorrow being Labor Day, I think it's a good time for us to concentrate on how Jesus worked and taught his followers to work. Sometimes holidays present opportunities for us to study particular subjects. Since tomorrow is Labor Day, maybe this is a good time for us to consider a number of passages that have to do with the Lord's work as well as the Lord's instructions to his followers to work. So as we go through our lesson, remember that Luke, in referring to his gospel, said that he wrote down all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So we're concerned about the Lord's example as well as what he taught. Well, let's first show from the scriptures how Jesus worked. Years ago, I didn't hear too much about this, but now it seems that we hear quite often about a work ethic. And it's good to have a proper work ethic. I think we've always known about it, but we didn't have that particular term to call it. But Jesus, as we examine his work, had a very strong work ethic from a very early age. Let's look at the book of Luke that Luke mentioned at the beginning of the book of Acts. Let's go to chapter 2. We won't read the entire account, but in chapter 2, Luke wrote about the occasion when Joseph and Mary and Jesus went to Jerusalem to observe the Passover feast. That was a very important feast for the Jewish people. Passover was held on the evening of the 14th day of the first Jewish month. Following the Passover was a seven-day feast. The entire feast is considered to last 8 days. With the passing of time, the entire feast became known as Passover. Well, we learn from verse 42 that when Jesus was 12 years old, he went with Joseph and Mary to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. I know you're familiar with what took place. After the feast had concluded, Joseph and Mary were on their way home. Quite often, it's my understanding that groups would travel together for companionship as well as protection. Now, this family lived in Nazareth, so they had traveled to Jerusalem. After the feast had concluded, Joseph and Mary were on their way home with the group that they were traveling with, and they just assumed that Jesus was in the group. He wasn't. He was back in Jerusalem, and they found him in the temple. Now, let's notice the statement that our Lord made in verse 49. You can just imagine how Joseph and Mary were frantic, wondering what happened to the Son of God. I've tried to picture what it must have been like. God Almighty trusted Joseph and Mary with the care of his son, and now they've lost him. Can you imagine what was going through their minds? Well, Mary said something to our Lord in verse 48. Now keep in mind, Jesus is 12 years old. What was his response? And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now as we examine the question that Jesus asked, it shows that he had a strong work ethic from a very early age. I must be about my Father's business. Well, we associate business with work, don't we? Years ago, I worked for two retail businesses, and my responsibility was to work. Well, having a small business myself, I work. We associate business with work. Jesus gave an indication of his strong work ethic when he was just 12 years old. I must be about my Father's business. Well, when Jesus was about 30 years of age, he began his ministry, and he indicated that he was sustained by doing the will of the Father and finishing the Father's work. Let's turn to John chapter 4 and read verse 34. Years ago, we didn't hear much about a work ethic, although it existed. I don't know if we use that particular expression very much. Another expression you hear today quite often has to do with the word sustain. I want you to notice that Jesus was sustained by doing something. John 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat, that is that which sustains me, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now remember that Luke said he wrote in his gospel about all that Jesus began both to do and teach. We're looking at the Lord's example that he set concerning work. It's important for us to look at his example and then look at what he had to teach. Well, Jesus had a strong work ethic from a very early age. And we just saw from John 4 and verse 34 that doing the work that the Father gave him to do actually sustained him. Let's look at John chapter 9 and read verse 4. Our Lord made this statement in connection with giving sight to a man who was born blind. John 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. When Jesus made that statement, he indicated that he had a strong sense of urgency concerning his work. You see how all these statements help us to appreciate the Lord's work? He was dedicated to doing the Father's will. He set the great example before us. So Jesus did indeed have a sense of urgency about his work. I've often wondered, the song that we were singing just a few moments ago, Work for the Night is Coming, if perhaps the writer of that song had this particular verse in mind. Certainly goes along the same line, doesn't it? Well, as we examine the Lord's ministry, we see that he worked diligently throughout that ministry, and his purpose was to fulfill his mission. Let's look at a few verses in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. And we want to read verse 23. Now Matthew in his Gospel gives us several, what I like to call, summary statements concerning the Lord's work. And as we look at them, we see that the Lord's work consisted primarily of teaching and preaching, and healing various illnesses and diseases. Those were the two main works that Jesus accomplished during his ministry. Matthew 4 and verse 23 says, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Look at Matthew 9 and let's read verse 35. Almost the same statement. Matthew 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus worked diligently to do the work that the Father gave him to do. He traveled from place to place, and as he did so, he was teaching and preaching and healing people of their various diseases. I mentioned something to Teresa the other day. Something happened that made me think of it. But a number of years ago, Teresa and I were living in West Tennessee, and we knew a man who was a veteran who was in the hospital in Memphis. He went to the VA hospital. We went to see him. It's the first time I'd ever been to that hospital. and I could not believe the huge number of men and women who were there to be treated. Some of them had some serious problems. When I saw that great crowd of people, and this is a big hospital, I just wanted to sit down and cry. But sometimes I think about that situation, and I can just imagine what it was like when Jesus traveled from place to place, and people, perhaps like some of those I saw in Memphis, would come to our Lord to be healed of their diseases and their illnesses. And the Bible teaches he healed them, every one. It would have been something to be present when Jesus healed large numbers of people. No wonder the people were amazed at what he was able to do, realizing that he truly is the Son of God. Well, what about the quality of the Lord's work? Let's turn to Mark chapter 7 and read verse 37. Mark 7 and verse 37. In my little New Testament here, I've got this statement underlined in red. And I remember a number of years ago when I was in school studying the Gospel of John, that the teacher pointed out this statement. Now, we're studying the Gospel of John, but the teacher very wisely pointed out this statement in connection with the Lord's work. Now, Jesus had healed a man who was deaf and who had a speech impediment. Let's notice the statement made by the people who were present. And we're beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He hath done all things well. When Jesus did something, he did it well. I've always been impressed with that statement. The Lord never put forth a half-hearted effort to do anything. When he did something, he did it well. Well, that tells us about the quality of the Lord's work. He hath done all things well. Now let's look at John chapter 17 and read verse 4. Jesus prayed just before he was arrested, and his prayer is recorded in this chapter. He prayed first for himself, then he prayed for his apostles, and then he prayed on behalf of all of his followers. But as he was praying for himself, I want you to notice something he said concerning his work. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. According to this verse, Jesus completed his work. Now, our Lord's ministry lasted for approximately 3 years. It'd be interesting to know what our Lord accomplished during that short period of time. John's gospel concludes with a statement that the world could not contain all the volumes that it would require to write down the things that Jesus did in about 3 years. Isn't that amazing? Jesus completed his work. And when he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Well, these verses tell us some things about the Lord's work. He had a strong work ethic from a very early age. He was sustained by doing the work that the Father gave him to do. Jesus had a great sense of urgency about his work. He worked diligently to fulfill his mission. We know something about the quality of the Lord's work, and we know that he completed his work. Let's turn our attention now to scriptures which teach us that Jesus taught his followers to work. Remember what Luke said as he began the book of Acts. He's referring to the gospel he wrote earlier. He said in the gospel he wrote down things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. We've looked at the Lord's example concerning work. Now let's turn our attention to the fact that he taught his followers to work. Now we need to keep in mind what we just mentioned from Acts chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Jesus gave commandments to the apostles, and he spoke to them about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It's important that we keep that in mind, because when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew's account, he told the apostles to teach converts everything that he taught them. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Jesus gave commands to the apostles. And then just before he ascended to be at the Father's right hand in heaven, he told the apostles what he wanted them to do: to teach the gospel, to baptize people, and then teach those new converts everything that he had taught them. Well, imagine being given that responsibility. The apostles had to go forth teaching everything that Jesus taught them. The apostles would need some help. The Lord took care of that. Let's look at John 14 and read verse 26. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would help the apostles to remember the things that he had taught them. I don't know about you, but I have heard this verse misapplied many, many times. Jesus was speaking to the apostles. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things," now notice this, "and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now Jesus spoke to the apostles about a number of different matters. He gave them commandments. He spoke to them about things pertaining to God's kingdom. Then he said, "I want you to teach all these things to people who become Christians." Imagine trying to remember everything that Jesus taught during a 3-year period. Well, that would be impossible from a human standpoint. Our Lord took care of it. He said that the Holy Spirit would assist the apostles in various ways. One way was by bringing to their memory everything that Jesus had taught them. The Spirit would also guide the apostles as they went forth teaching and as they went forth writing down the Lord's commands. Well, these are some things that we need to keep in mind as we search the scriptures to know the Lord's will concerning our responsibility to work. So we need to look at the Lord's teaching that he gave to the apostles, and by doing that, we can know what he requires of all of his followers. Well, we're concerned about work and about doing good works. Let's do take the time to notice something that Jesus said toward the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Now we're going to be looking at a number of passages. I'll try to keep my comments to a minimum so we can cover more ground. But these are some passages that have to do with Christian work. Matthew 5, starting at verse 14. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus showed that his followers would have a positive influence upon other people by doing good works. That's the way that we allow our lights to shine. And Jesus indicated that that was very important. Others will observe the good works done by his followers, and it will have a positive impact upon them. I can't help but think about a lady who's mentioned in Acts chapter 9, who I think illustrates what our Lord was saying. Her name was Dorcas. She was full of good works and alms deeds. But this lady passed away. The people who were there called for Peter because he was not far away. So he came. And there were a number of widows present who were showing the various garments and coats that Dorcas had made. I don't know how many talents this lady had, but I know one thing, she could sew, and she did that to the glory of God. And these ladies, these widows, were weeping. They showed Peter the various garments that Dorcas had made for them. Now, what did Dorcas illustrate? She illustrated what Jesus said in Matthew 5 that we read in his Sermon on the Mount about doing good works and allowing your lights to shine. Well, she had a tremendous impact upon a number of people. We need to keep that in mind. By doing good works, we're able to have an opportunity to influence someone for good. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6 and read verses 9 and 10. Galatians 6 verses 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Verse 9 mentions the fact that in due season we will reap. That being the case, we must not become weary in well-doing. You know, when you work, you put forth effort and you naturally get tired. This is a different type of weariness here. Doing good works may not always achieve the results that we would like to see. And if we become too focused on results, we can become weary and want to give up. And the Bible warns against that. The Bible teaches that there will be a great reward available to those who are steadfast. That being the case, as we have opportunities placed before us, we're to take advantage of them and be of assistance to whoever we can. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read verse 10. In verses 8 and 9, Paul showed how we're saved by grace through faith. Then, when we are saved, notice what's mentioned in verse 10. For we, that is those who are Christians, those who are saved, are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice that we've been created in the Lord unto good works. We're God's workmanship. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Just recently, we showed from this verse that we're to strive to increase in the knowledge of God. Let's notice something else that's mentioned in this very same verse. Colossians 1 and verse 10. Now, we're breaking into a very long sentence found in this chapter. But verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The Lord teaches us about the importance of bearing fruit in John chapter 15. He says that that glorifies God. Where we're to be fruitful in every good work. Now, does that mean that every child of God has to be capable of doing the very same things? No, it doesn't mean that at all. God, in his infinite wisdom, composed the church in such a way that it's made up of people with various talents and abilities. There are certain things that you can do that I cannot do. There might be a few things that I can do that you can't do. But I'm reminded of the parable of the talents. There was a man who was given 5 talents. There was a man who was given 2 talents. There was a man who was given 1 talent. Something's missing. There are no 0-talent men in that parable. Why? Because the Lord sees to it that we're blessed with our talents and abilities. We need to be able to recognize them and use them to God's glory, and he'll bless us in return. But we're to strive to be fruitful in every good work. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and read verses 16 and 17. And we use these verses to emphasize the fact that the scriptures are inspired, and rightly so. Let's notice what they will do for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now notice the 4 areas in which the scriptures are profitable. For doctrine or teaching, for reproof, that is our ways that are not right are pointed out to us, for correction, that is, the scriptures show us how we can be restored to an upright condition before God. And the scriptures are also profitable for instruction in righteousness. Now, what's the end result? That the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. The scriptures will equip us with what we need to do the work of God. James said it like this in chapter 1 and verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Once again, the perfect law of liberty provides that which we need to furnish us unto all good works. That's another reason why we need to be careful students of the Word of God. As we study the scriptures, we learn information that will help us to do what God wants us to do. And then let's turn to Titus chapter 2 and read a few verses. We're looking at verses which show that Jesus taught his followers to work. As we study the New Testament, we're actually learning the Lord's will. Titus chapter 2, let's start at verse 11. I always like to point this out when studying the book of Titus. Titus was an evangelist serving on the island of Crete. He was a very close friend of the Apostle Paul. And Paul wrote this letter to him to teach him about his personal conduct as well as what he was to teach the people on the island of Crete. I've always found chapter 1 to be especially interesting because Paul wrote about the condition of the people living in Crete. They had a bad reputation. And Paul went on to say, this witness is true. And he quotes a Cretan who talked about his own people. You don't hear it much today, but I remember at one time, if you wanted to say something derogatory to someone, you'd call him a cretin. That wasn't meant to be a compliment. I wonder where that goes back to. Well, the gospel went to Crete. A number of people became Christians. And becoming Christians indicated that their lives were to change. So Titus was there to teach them how to live as Christians. And Paul wrote to him to give him some information concerning his teaching as well as his personal conduct. Well, let's notice something that's revealed in chapter 2. These people in Crete, although they had a bad reputation, they had become Christians. And this is something they needed to know. Titus 2, let's start at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, now notice this, zealous of good works. You can just imagine some of the evil things that were done on the island of Crete. But these people who became Christians, they were changed people, and they were to be zealous of good works. Imagine the influence that they'd have upon the people living in Crete. Look at chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And then verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Did you notice how many times in this one short letter, Christians doing good works is emphasized? Well, all of these instructions have to do with the fact that Jesus taught his followers to work. Well, we've seen from the scriptures that Jesus worked. We've also seen that he taught his followers to work. It's my prayer that we'll follow the Lord's example and then practice his instructions to the very best of our ability. If we will do that, the Lord will be pleased, he will be glorified, our souls will be saved, and we'll have a tremendous influence upon others who observe our behavior. Maybe Labor Day is a good time for us to think about these things. Are we saved by good works? No. We're saved by God's grace through faith. And, of course, the Bible teaches that God saves us when we comply with his word. And Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But then when we are saved, when we get into Christ, we're new creatures. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Then we can set our sights on heaven, and that will motivate us to do what the Lord wants us to do.